The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org. Listeners, as always, thank you for joining us. Great to have you with us. We have got a returning guest with us right now. Camille Pauly is joining us. She is the co-founder and president of a wonderful organization called Healing the Culture. And my goodness, do we ever need healing within the culture? She is the co-founder and president of Healing the Culture, which is a nonprofit organization that evangelizes and converts people to the deeply, authentically, and permanently pro-life position. She is the creator of multiple international acclaimed educational pro-life programs, including Philo and Sophie. And I think we actually highlighted that at some point. It's also Principles and Choices. And we are asking you to join us right now because there's a brand new program that they're getting out there. And I'm dying to find out all about it. Camille, thank you so much.
Molly, you are a blessing. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. So you are in the throes of another expansion, from what I can understand, or another promotion. And I'm not quite sure how long this program has been going, but give us the background. Before we start on the new program, remind the listeners all about what Healing the Culture is about.
Sure. So we're a unique pro-life organization. We do education, strictly education, and our goal is to change the way people think about life in general. And so the real reason you have abortion, euthanasia, and all of these other horrible things going on today is because people have bought into the deconstruction of the human person. They don't even know who they are anymore. So they don't know what happiness means or what success is all about. They have no sense of a real high quality of life. They don't see what is true or good or beautiful. They just don't have any grounding in that. They have no education in that. There's been no philosophical education in these things that are critical to getting to people to understand the deep dignity and sanctity of the human person so that they can see the image and likeness of God in an unborn child. So what we do is we give a whole philosophical of what it means to be a human person. And we elevate the definitions of all those words, happiness and success and freedom and rights and ethics and, you know, success, all those terms that are so important to people when they're looking at abortion as an issue. We elevate the definitions and show people how abortion and euthanasia actually are contradictory to living for the truth of those things. Wow. And we've been doing that for about 30 years. Yeah. Very successful.
Wow. And how do you structure this? Because it's very interesting. People, you know, what I found, and we've had programs in our, you know, in our little Cleveland area. But oftentimes people want to know, so how do you do this? What are you doing? Or, you know, are you sending them brochures every day, or, you know, what are you doing?
Not sending them brochures every day, but yeah, well, you know, one of the biggest things that I did when I started this organization is I said, we're not going to create stuff that we think is really awesome, speaks to us and sits on our shelves and does no good for the culture. So we go to the different target audiences that most need to hear our message, and we figure out what do they need the most? How do you articulate it in a way that they're going to listen to you? And then what platform do you use to get it on so that they'll actually be introduced to it? And so we really study our audiences to figure out who they are and where they are. And I love this program, the new program we have, Forbidden Discussions, because it targets a generation that has been so sucked into the deconstruction of the person, which is Generation Z. And it really aims to look at them. We've been working on this project for probably about 2 years, mostly first just studying the generation, then studying how to transform our message into a language that they would understand and listen to, and then trying to figure out how to present it and in what venue.
Forbidden Discussions, brand new program on healing the culture. Please remember, everybody, healingtheculture.org, healingtheculture.org. And then you just look at their programs and it pops up right up there so that you'll see the, and or you can do healingtheculture.org/forbidden-discussions and you'll get right there. When you mentioned you spent some time looking at the Generation Z, what did you find?
On the one hand, you've got these kids who are vibrant and, they're smart and they have a lot of information at their fingertips and they're very zealous, and they want to do something with their lives. The problem is that nearly all of them say they use the internet every day and half of them report to being online almost constantly. So 95% of teenagers have access to a smartphone and they're using it almost, half of them are using it almost the entire day, even at school, at home, in the morning, at night, in their beds. They're using this all the time. And so that, that Generation Z is anywhere between the ages of, I'd say, 7 years old. It's about 7 years old to 24 or so, or maybe 28 is more realistic. And it's that later high school, early college, and then young adult age that we're trying to reach in that range. These are kids who are spending their lives on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. A whole bunch of them find, like 59% of them find YouTube very trustworthy. So, what they're reading or looking at online, they think is their authority. So we have a real problem in the pro-life movement of reaching these people because they're going to the sources where we get canceled. And so we had to really grapple with how do we get on YouTube? How do we get on TikTok? How do we get on the sources that they're getting on without getting canceled? And we hired a marketing firm that's really good at that kind of stuff, changing language constantly, changing the article headings and those sorts of things, but using words that the teens are looking for when they're searching for videos. And here's another really interesting fact, Molly. Over 70% of Gen Zers perceive themselves to be religious.
They're wow. actually say that again.
Yes. Oh, over 70% of Gen Zers perceive themselves to be religious. So most of them are very open to looking up religion online. So if you use the right wording, they'll happen on your stuff. The problem is what they mean by being religious, right? Okay. They are known for sort of making up their own religion, their own spirituality. They're very into crystals and fortune telling, getting kind of curating religious, their own religion on through their social media feeds. And so that, that's a real problem. But the fact that they're searching for something bigger than themselves is a really big deal because this is the first generation in a long time that's been willing to openly say religion, not a bad thing. It's just, what do you mean by religion? Yes, my religion is my own religion. So, yeah, so we find clever ways to get into their, the venues that they're going on YouTube. Some of them are still on Facebook. Very few. Facebook's kind of an older audience now. But Twitter and TikTok and presenting them with really short, and that's the other key, really short messages that grab their attention. Kids will look at a video for 30 seconds, 90 seconds, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, but beyond that, you're really pushing it. Forget it. And unless it's, looking at some pop figure that they really admire and like a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I 100% agree with you. And it's interesting with that 70% that you mentioned, because we've just had our amendment fight here in Ohio, and, the exit polling was devastating, just devastating. I can just see exactly what you've just said, sort of that it's out there and you can see it when you actually go into the culture and you watch the way they're living. 70%, I think it was about 70% of our young people, even though they might have thought, they might have believed that, abortion is wrong or abortion is taking a life. 70% of the young people voted to have abortion on demand. 70%. Yeah. So it's the same. It's exactly that same thing. They're actually making, even if they belong to an organized religion, I think they decide what parts of it they're going to follow. So there's no, there's no, you know, determination as to, okay, these are the rules. These are the, this is, these are the commandments. These are what we're going to, nope. It's, you know, well, I don't believe in that. So I'm not going to worry about that. So we've got this whole thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, think about what's forming them all day long.
Yeah.
You're talking about a generation that has never known a world without a smartphone.
Yep.
They've had the whole world at their fingertips at 24/7, but it's not the real world. They've had a made up world at their fingertips, right? And they think they're watching the real world, but it's a world that's very carefully curated, very carefully constructed by people who want to control what you're thinking all day long.
Absolutely.
So they, you know, that's strike number one. Strike number two is these kids come from a very high rate of divorce or from parents who were never married in the first place. So they don't have strong authority figures that they trust in their lives all day long. They have parents who are working all day long or just not present in their lives. Now, I'm not talking about all of them. There are a lot of kids in that generation who are very pro-life, very Christian, strong families. I'm talking about the trend, right? The
general
majority
trend,
of these kids.
100%, our data totally backs you up. Yep.
Yeah. And these are kids who are ultimately alone. They're very alone because their friends are all on are all online, and they don't even know who most of these people are, or if they're even their own age group, or even if they're male or female, or if they even live in the same country. So that's a huge problem. They're alone because they don't have, a lot of them don't have any siblings. They're alone because they come from parents who have split up, and they're alone because a lot of them have been abandoned even by, you know, the people who are supposed to be caring for them, their teachers, and even sadly, some of them, their pastors. So these are a really lonely group of kids. These kids have the highest rates of depression and anxiety that have ever been measured in any generation since we've been measuring it. And, you know, obviously you're stuck all day in this virtual world. Your family life is broken. Your spiritual life is confusing. Your idea of religion is a mess. You're going to end up depressed and anxious about who you are, what there is out there, who loves you, what am I meant for, where am I going? And about 20% of these kids now identify as LGBTQ. They get so sucked into whatever the current thing is right now.
And you
now.
Know what? The other part that we're finding with that, Camille, is that when they get sucked into that LGBTQ plus groups, that becomes a family for them. They are very,
yes, it
it's
does.
Cult. It's a cult. And I've heard this from so many parents. It's a cult that they get sucked in and now they belong. They found a place to belong, which is so sick.
But they're considered a hero, right? You are a hero. You are courageous. You are a somebody because you identify as, you know, lesbian or gay or transgender or whatever. That makes you somebody who's important, and everybody wants to be important. Now, I don't want your audience to get too down on what we're talking about, because there is good in this. These kids want to be important. They want to be relevant. They want to be loved. They want an authority figure in their lives, and they want religion. These are all really good things. They all point to the God-shaped hole in their hearts. They're no different than we are. They have that same longing for God. They need to be introduced to who He is and who they really are, so that we can flip that switch on that nobody else has ever switched on in their hearts and in their heads, so that they can begin to go, I'm being sold a bill of goods. This is all a bunch of, you know, junk.
Yeah.
And then they know where to go. That's why it's so important for us to go on the platforms where they are living their lives right now.
So Forbidden Discussions, tell us about this. Give us the background. How, you know, what are you doing in this Forbidden Discussions program?
Yeah, so this is a video series. It features Generation Z kids. So youngsters, you know, well, not youngsters, but 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, male and female. The first five-part series is available right now at healingtheculture.org. And we take these kids and they debate online. They debate abortion, and they're given different topics. And then they flip back and forth between pro-life and pro-choice. So the woman may be pro-life in one episode, and the next she's arguing for the pro-choice side. And we did that for a specific reason, because when we studied it, we had either when we would have the woman being pro-life, then the guys complained that the guy is always the one who is made to look bad because the pro-life position is always right. I mean, how can you not have the position, you know, the pro-life position come out on top? It's obviously got all the science and all the philosophy on its side. But when you make the man be always the pro-life side, arguing the pro-life side, then they argue that, oh, you're anti-woman and nobody listens to the woman's voice. So we said, well, let's just mix it up. Let's see what happens if you make them mixed up. And the kids actually are way more open to that, because they're curious at seeing how can you defend one position? but then defend the other position the next day because they're not taught to do that in their schools. They're taught to shun that. They're crammed a set of ideas and told this is the only set of ideas, and they're not allowed to debate. Debates now on college campuses often are forbidden. Mm-hmm. That's why we call them forbidden discussions, because the truth that the woke people are teaching you is so true that anything else is going to corrupt you and ruin your life. And so you're not even allowed to hear it. That's why when you try to get somebody from the opposite side on a college campus to give a speech, they're shouted down, because these kids are taught by their socialist teachers that you don't want to listen to the other side because it will infect you and it's evil. So, so even that title, Forbidden Discussions, was very carefully thought through. You know, they look at that and go, oh, this is something I'm not allowed to do at school. Maybe I'm going to click here and see what these kids are talking about. Yeah, anything that's forbidden, they like to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the other neat thing is these kids are debating online. So we have that. They don't debate face to face. They're using the technique, the technology that real kids are using. So in our videos, Finley and Isaac, the two stars, are debating over the internet with each other on a laptop, which is kind of fun.
Oh, wonderful. So where are you? This is going out to who? I mean, how do we get this out into the community in a successful way? Yeah.
Sure. So anybody can find the series at healingtheculture.org, or you can just go on YouTube and search for Healing the Culture. You'll see our channel, get on our channel, and you'll find that series and a whole bunch of other series we have for other age groups as well. And you can just forward the links to your friends. But we made it available to anybody, and it's all free, but we're particularly targeting that Generation Z, 17 to 24-year-olds, 17 to 28-year-olds. And we're targeting kids who are either pro-choice or they are not sure, but they're open to hearing either side. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to listen and they're curious. And the way we get it to them is we run these as ads on the channels and on the videos that they're watching.
Ah,
so we have some, we have some very clever marketing people who say, oh, let's figure out where these kids are going. What are the videos that are hot? What are they watching? And then we place them as ads and they watch them as ads.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. You know, that is, we've discovered, you know, the importance right now of social media. As you say, Facebook has got a certain group of people that watch it. And then you've got the TikTok, and then you've got the, you know, Instagram and the tweeting and whatever, you know, Xing or whatever they call it now. I have no clue. And I have to tell you, absolutely, I have no clue what this is about. I was dragged kicking and screaming to the social media. It's all evil in there. It's all evil in there.
I know.
But it's not. It's not actually, you know. But what we did discover was that you're absolutely right. We are getting completely slammed when it comes to social media with the opposition message. Totally slammed.
It's more physically, biologically attractive to these kids. It incites them and excites them. So their message, they have the benefit of, you know, within 9 seconds, they've kind of grasped at your lower, more base instincts. We don't do that, right? We're aiming for your real self. We're aiming for your transcendent self. We're aiming for your heart and your soul, and trying to bring your body along with it. And so it's a lot harder to do that in 9 seconds.
Yeah.
It can be done, but it's harder.
Yeah.
And you find yourself often falling prey to the same techniques that our opposition is using, which are corrupting techniques, and you don't want to do that. So, you know, you have to work really hard. You don't want the cheese factor where your stuff looks like, oh, brother, you know, you're Pollyanna.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to fall into tactics that make you, you know, seem like you're from the pit of hell. You know, you don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
So you find a way to pique their interest in ways that are naturally appealing to them while still maintaining a sense of innocence. It's a curious, curious generation. My own kids are Gen Z. I have an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Wow.
And you know, it is possible for your listeners out there who are parents, it is possible to keep them away from the social media and the technology. And, you know, you can do it, but you have to really be on top of it. My kids, they don't have their own cell phone. They don't really even know what social media is. They barely use the computer. You know, they use it for their assignments and typing. And then I'm with them when they're looking up things online. And the rest of it is live discussion and live friendships and, you know, sleepovers and parties with their friends in person and, you know, homeschooling and co-ops and face-to-face instruction, and you know, those sorts of things are filling their lives. It's hard to do, but you can do it.
You are so right. I mean, I have grandchildren right now. One of them is completely homeschooled. The other one is in a sort of a Montessori-style, you know, Christian organization that really sort of feeds to the parents and the children. So it's a family. It's basically like a family, homeschooling group that meets every day.
Nice. That's fun.
Yeah. So that's lots of fun too. But I have to say that I spent some time yesterday with one group of with the homeschooling kids, and it was just like, I came home and I said to my husband, I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed. We had such fun. The kids taught me. Now they do have some time on the, you know, they have these video games. And so they were teaching me how to play Mario Brothers or something. the youngest one says to me, "You've got no money at all." I said, "I know, but I've got four grandsons, so you guys can help me." But it's, you know, it's so sweet because it is interactive, but there's also, it's very structured. They're not allowed to play for a certain, you know, more than a certain amount of time. It's so different from what I'm watching these kids in our neighborhood getting off the buses, and just, they don't even look up anymore. They get off the bus. No. They've got their phone in their hands. They're almost falling over the pavement, and there's no, you know, very little screaming and shouting going on. You know, I remember when my kids got off this very same bus, the kids were just like riot. You'd hear the bus arrive and there would just be an explosion of kids. Yeah. The same explosion of kids is happening, but there's no noise, which is so sad. You know,
wow, that's a curious, heartbreaking phenomenon.
So you've got this program out there where we can actually, if we're going to be there, we have to try and meet them in some of these spaces. And I think you're 100% right, Camila. I mean, I think we have to do that. We've got to meet them in their spaces and find ways to actually pull them out. How do people, you say there is absolutely, there's no fee for this. You can just go on. You're raising mm-hmm. the money for this. What mm-hmm. do you need to help to keep this going? I always like to say to people, you've heard a very inspiring speaker talk, interviewer. Now, how can you help that interviewer? How can you help that organization? How would you say was the best way that you have found the most successful for people to help you financially or even support you?
Well, you know, each episode that we produce costs about $6,000 to produce. Wow. So people can adopt an episode. You can sort of adopt a couple minutes of it or a couple seconds of it, yeah. depending on what your budget is, to help us get them out there. And donations are on healingtheculture.org. You can also pray for the people who are watching these videos. They live in very, very dark places. And some of them will watch these videos and will receive comments on some of these videos that are heartbreaking, that indicate that they like what we're saying, that they believe it, that they think this is beautiful, but they don't know how to get out of the world they're living in. There's no way out for them. This is the world you live in. And, you know, healing the culture, you're living in a not real situation. And I'm glad for you, but there's no way I can get out of the slavery I'm living in. So pray for the audience who are watching these videos, that God will help them to take that first step of the prodigal son out of the pig pen, you know, the darkness that they're living in. And the third way is to feed these videos to people in that generation or to other grownups, you know, who have kids or young kids or teachers. If you're a teacher, you should be using these in the classroom with your teens. If you teach younger grades, we have our Philo and Sophie program that you can use in the classroom. It's all free. If you have older kids, we have our Respect Life University videos that are all free. So be using these in the classroom, in your religious education program, with your catechism classes. I think those are three really good ways. Mm-hmm. Get these videos out there, pray for the kids who are watching them, and support us financially if you can.
There's another thing up here that I saw in your programs. You've also got a thing called parish partners. So I think, you know, if we go further than that, you can certainly look at what parish partner entails and help in that way as well, because any and every way, we all got to get involved in this together to help our children. We really do.
Yeah,
our youth are crying out for our help, and we are the adults in this. We need to help. We need to stretch out and help. I absolutely agree with you. So again, it's healingtheculture.org. Go there, download these, some of these videos, pass them around, go onto social media, see what you can find, and make sure that this gets out there. Camille, it's, as always, such a lovely thing to talk with you. And just please keep it up. We need more. We need another 100, Camille, for sure.
No, you need another 100 other than Camille.
That's probably true, too. Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Molly.
Thank you so much. God bless you and your ministry. God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say goodnight and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org. Or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure, or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median, as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.